Welcome to the Royal Opera House. I'm Antonio Papano, Music Director of the Royal Opera. To find out more about our productions, visit roh.org.uk.
Cliff, can I start with you? Maybe there's no answer to this. The extent of Da Ponte's own musical knowledge, his understanding of what, in fact, Mozart was doing when he was setting his libretti. I mean, what do we know about that?
We don't know anything. We know virtually nothing. We do know that Mozart would intervene to set texts that he wanted. We have absolutely no evidence, and Da Ponte says virtually nothing that's of any musical consequence in his memoirs. So it's a very good question with no answer.
But we have to presume that he would have had a fairly sophisticated musical knowledge. I mean, to be both an intimate of Salieri as well as Mozart?
Not necessarily. I wonder whether it isn't a rhythmic sensibility, actually, rather than a musical sensibility. Right? So there's this rhythmic understanding, and Salieri was not a Mozart. Leopold Mozart, fine composer that he was not Mozart. And where they have problems is coordinating the rhythmic gestures of forward motion, of propulsion, with the rest of the musical material, with the harmony and the melody and things like that. That's where they stumble.
Amanda Holland, is that your sense, working really as closely as anybody with Da Ponte in translating, that there is a shared sense of rhythm that actually unites them in?
I think that's absolutely possible. People sometimes ask me if my children are musical, and I say, yes, they're terribly musical. And then they say, well, what do they play? And I say, well, they don't play anything. And I think it's quite possible that Da Ponte was that kind of musical person, because he would have been surrounded by music. He was a poet. The important thing, I think a good librettist, if you're writing words for singers, you are writing words that are going to be heard. They're not going to be read. I think that's what Da Ponte was good at. But I think what Mozart was superlative at, and he actually brought out the superlative possibilities in Da Ponte. I'm sure they must have spent time together, but I'm sure that Mozart was the boss, and Da Ponte would have gone home and Mozart would have said, right, we don't want this, we'll use this. There are moments where the words get repeated. This doesn't often happen in the kind of boring composers. They just set something, you know, and you sit through it.
Can you immediately see what it is that is distinctive about Da Ponte as a librettist, what he does with language? What does he bring that puts him in a different league?
Different league, I don't know, but I think Amanda is right in talking about repetition. The music bears the repetition, the text bears the musical repetitions, but it's more than just repetition. It's that spinning out. One of the principles of good speaking, of good rhetorical speaking, as people have been taught, is that you say things three times. And actually, so many times, Mozart in his music says things three times, and the third time goes off somewhere else.
He's a much crueler, but also a much more acute figure in terms of the drama of the moment, perhaps.
I mean, I think he's really realistic about human nature.
He's not pulling any punches.
And also, there's that wonderful sense of mischievousness, which actually gives you the humour in these operas, even though they're upsetting desperately. And I'm sure Mozart had that. There's a sort of energy, and you know, you see it in the movie, don't you, Amadeus? The sort of fantastic zest for musical energy that makes Mozart a better composer than Righini and Sarti and Salieri and all those people.